President Hassan Sheikh, the first question I wanted to ask is about Ethiopia and the rehadding of Ethiopian troops in Somalia under the AMISOM mandate. A lot of Somalis think disapprove of this move. They're skeptical of Ethiopian troops, given the history of Ethiopia in the country. How do you assure Somalis that this is a good idea?
Well, I think worry is there, but under the current circumstances of Somalia, that worry is not valid. Ethiopia is a neighboring country, and other neighboring countries' forces are in Somalia. Ethiopian forces are also have been in Somalia with an agreement from the former transitional government. Now, becoming a part of AMISOM, I think, will address those concerns, because before, if someone was claiming that Ethiopia is acting by its own, now Ethiopia is mandated by the United Nations Security Council under the African Union flag. So Ethiopia is not acting by its own, but it's acting under international mandate. And I think that gives assurance to the Somali people. And on top of that, on the ground, the Ethiopian forces will make a real difference. And we do not disagree on that. So it's a value added to the AMISOM operations that was going on in Somalia.
And the government has announced plans to conduct operations in southern and central Somalia soon to confront al-Shabaab militants there. I want to ask you, how are those plans progressing? Is there a timeline or a time frame when we might see operations begin? And what role do you imagine Ethiopia would have in those operations?
As you rightly said, Somali National Army is preparing for that big operations to come, and Ethiopian forces as part of AMISOM, including the other AMISOM forces, all AMISOM troops are also part of the great operation that is going under consideration, which will happen soon. So Somali National Army and the AMISOM forces will jointly be conducting these operations to eliminate Shabaab and clear all the territory of Somalia out of the control of al-Shabaab. So the plans are progressing. There are timelines in it. But all I can say you now is that they are progressing and progressing very fast.
And in terms of the capacity to conduct these operations, not just from a military standpoint, but also in terms of filling in the vacuum that could be left behind when if al-Shabaab is taken away from some of the towns in their control, what systems do you have in place or mechanisms do you have to ensure there is no political vacuum?
There are, as you rightly said, the military operations are going to take, and then parallelly, and hand in hand, there is another stabilization operation going on with the military operation, which is, as you rightly said, filling the gap immediately by putting local administrations in place, capacitating these local administrations, and immediate service delivery to the citizens so that the citizens feel a difference. So there is a parallel program by the Somali federal government in partnering with international partners to establish civilian administrations, service delivery, and peace-building committees in place immediately after the liberation of a particular area.
And there are some lessons to be learned from the past. One could say that Jubaland was liberated very quickly and politically may have gotten out of control, and there were some tensions clearly between the federal government in Mogadishu and the local authorities in Kismayo. Would you consider the Jubaland example to be a failure?
No, I will not. First of all, there was no plans in place in those days. Now, the difference is there are plans in place based on these past experiences. And Jubaland, at the end, we managed it. It was not a total failure. AMISOM has been there, and now the administration is there. There is a jointly understanding between the local authorities and the federal government. So the recent experience is based on those. So we will not allow any vacuum to take place in the liberated area. So immediately, once the area is recovered, there will be a new administration facilitated by the federal government in collaboration with our international partners.
And are you seeking any additional support in any form from here at the African Union with partner nations in terms of trying to finally bring the security situation under control in Somalia?
We have the support of the multilaterally. You have the United Nations, the IGAD, the AU already in place. The EU also funding major programs and major initiatives in Somalia. But right now, what we're seeing is certain areas where there are gaps. We are going to fill those gaps with bilateral agreement with individual countries or individual organizations. And so far, everything is working according to the plans.
So when do you think the Al-Shabaab threat can be eliminated?
Well, Al-Shabaab threat, I don't want to exaggerate, Al-Shabaab threat will be reduced immensely soon, but it will remain for some time. Yeah.
And U.S., there have been reports of recent U.S. drone strikes in Somalia, at least one over the last weekend. Were you aware of that strike before it took place?
We were aware, and we have an agreement with all the partners that are fighting against Shabaab, and the Somali government welcomes any partners who is targeting or who is reducing the capacity of Al-Shabaab at any level, at any means. So this operation was part of that, and we were informed. And that agreement and understanding between the Somali government and our international partners is there.
But are you concerned that these strikes could anger the populations in areas where they're taking place, as they have in other countries?
Well, it will not, because we have extensively discussed these issues and the possibilities of a severe or a problematic collateral effects of those strikes based on the experiences in other parts of the world. So far, we have a couple of strikes that took place, and there has never been a civilian collateral effect. So this is a new approach, what's going on right now. There's a lot of collaboration and a lot of attention has been given. It's not a blanket bombing or a blanket targeting of any concentration. No, this is individuals and groups and training centers, bomb-making factories. That's been, so far, so good. We have no any civilian collateral effects that has done, and we hope the rest will end like that.
Let me ask you a question that's a little bit more personal, in that I know even a couple days after you took office, there was an attack on the hotel where you were giving a sort of a press interview. How do you personally cope with the threats that are against you? It seems you would be a very high target, and we are still seeing attacks quite frequently in Mogadishu.
The threat is on all the Somali people. It's not one person, one group only. Somalia is under threat because of the Shabaab still controlling areas and still doing all these bad things to Somali people. As a high-value target for them, yes, I am. And it's not that they only since then. They have always been targeting me and targeting the other leadership of the government, including the Prime Minister, the Speaker, the parliamentarians, and the government, and they killed a number of people, higher officers of the government. So, but that does not change. It gives us only more energy and more commitment to make Somalia a better place to live by its citizens. So the threat of Al-Shabaab will energize us more, but it does not demotivate us.
All right, thanks. And finally, just the last question. President Obama has invited you, among other African leaders, to the meeting in August. Are you going to attend?
Yes, I do, and I already received that invitation, and Somalia will prepare itself to be part of that big conference, and I think it's a great opportunity for the African continent and as well as for the United States. So this global world, this is what is needed, and President Obama has did a very good decision to provide that opportunity and space for collaboration between African continent and United States. So it's an opportunity, and we welcome that opportunity.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.